season, doesn't it? All these bank holidays are pleasure for some, a pain in the neck for others. The time, you know, God is good, isn't he? Yes. Amen, all the time. Anybody got your Bible with them this morning on this Palm Sunday? I'll say, this is my Bible. It's the Word of God. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. My heart's open. My mind's receptive to receive the Word of God for me today. That's good. That's so good. So good to see you. Don't you just love Easter? Sunshine and the weather hopefully is getting better. It's still a bit fresh in the morning. Anybody still having to chip ice off their car before they leave? That's if you are leaving in the morning. Bit of a bit cold. But I want to read this morning and just really bring our attention into this whole season of Easter. And we talked a little bit about it last week about, you know, how that colt, that donkey was loosed and was able to carry Jesus on his journey into Jerusalem. I just want to pick up on that a bit this morning. And let's read from Matthew chapter 21. So all this was done, in verse 4, that it might fulfill which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And very great multitudes spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You know, a familiar story, and sometimes you may have been in church where this has been acted out and in various ways, some very powerfully, some maybe quite amusingly. But it is this key event fulfilling the prophetic word of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on his journey. The Savior came into Jerusalem on that day. Then it says Jesus went into the temple of God, verse 12, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Mark's gospel picks up on that where he addresses them and he says, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And he taught them saying, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? He says, but you've made it a den of thieves. You've turned it into something which it is never intended to be. I'm amazed how sometimes we turn things in to things that they're not. You know, through whatever, through tradition, through culture, through feelings, through thoughts, through emotions, through opinions, through circumstances, we turn things into something which they were never meant to be. And we miss out on so much of what God has for us. John, of course, records something different, slightly different, when he is recording the events when Jesus did earlier on in his ministry. So significant, when on a previous occasion, Jesus had done similar when he drove them out of the drove those doing the same things out of the temple. In John chapter 2 and verse 17, then his disciples remembered what it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up, or zeal for the Lord's house has consumed him. I'd say, what eats you up? What consumes you? The New Testament, we read that the zeal of the Lord, the things of God, you know, empower us and equip us and challenge us. You know, the love of God, the Bible says, consumes us. The love of God drives us. The love of Christ, what he did for us, drives us to be who we are and do what we do. I tell you, a lot of things drive us in life today, don't they? A lot of things drive us. A lot of things empower us. A lot of things get our focus and cause us to do the things we do. But John, when Jesus came into the temple on that first occasion, earlier on in his ministry, and he went in and he drove out those who were there, they were doing similar, says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made a den of thieves. And then John picks up on that and says, the zeal of the Lord's house has consumed him. After he'd done this, cleared it out, sent them packing. Can you imagine the pandemonium? The wildness, the craziness of what went on in that temple when Jesus drove out. All that was going on, animals, men, women, children, of all walks of life. Cleared out. As you turn into a den of thieves, that which was meant for a place of prayer for all nations. And back then in the temple, in verse 14, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The healer was in the house, and he healed them. Once all this had gone, once all this had been cleared out, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant or angry and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes. Have you not read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. You know, this day that Jesus went into Jerusalem, this day which is recorded there, this day which we remember on this Palm Sunday, it was expected. There was an expectancy in those around. Is there an expectancy of the presence and the power of God of things to take place in our lives? You know, when you get up on a Sunday morning and it's church day, are you excited? Are you excited when you get up to church? Maybe. I hope you're more excited than when you get up for work or you get up for school or your education. But there's an expectancy. I believe when we come into the house of God, when we come into his presence, even, not just in the church, but when we get up and we start lifting up the name of Jesus and we make him central, there should be an expectancy for God to work in our lives. And Matthew records the words of the prophet, where it says in Zechariah how he would come. Psalm 18 and verse 26 says, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. See, prophecy is being fulfilled. Why? Because their salvation was always promised. Man was separated from God, but salvation was promised. A Savior was promised. And here is Jesus coming into Jerusalem on this first Palm Sunday. Of course, not everyone recognized him as being the Messiah. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem to fulfill the voice of the prophet. He comes into Jerusalem, he enters the temple. And Mark, it's interesting, Mark records Jesus coming into the temple. And it says, he came in and he looked around at all things. He looked around at all things, and having looked around at all things, the Bible says he went out. And then came back the next day. And then pandemonium. I wonder whether Jesus maybe couldn't believe what he was seeing. He just couldn't believe what he was seeing when he goes into the temple, the place where he was expecting the presence of God and things of the kingdom of God, the things that the people of God, doing what they did in the temple. He was expecting to see something, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing, because, of course, earlier in his ministry, he'd gone into this temple and done exactly the same thing, seen exactly the same thing, and did what he did. He'd already done it. He confronted the traitors, and he dealt with them by driving them out. I just want to bring a little focus into something, into what was going on there, just for a few moments. I don't want to be long. I don't want to keep you long this morning. But he confronted the traitors on one occasion when he's seen this exact same thing. And he'd driven them out. You think that those people of those days would have learned by their error. wouldn't you? But we don't, do we? We don't always learn by our errors. For whatever reason. You think they would have learned maybe by the error of the ways they would have maybe doing the things in the view. Maybe at least they would have had a watchman at the gate looking out for Jesus. Oh no, here he comes again. I believe sometimes, you know, we can get frustrated in life because Jesus maybe wants to confront something, challenge us on something that maybe we should know. You think maybe that because of the earlier experience, they'd maybe had somebody at the gate looking out for Jesus. Oh, Jesus is coming. We better tidy up. Do you remember when he came before? It wasn't that long ago. And we were doing this and we were doing that, and not a lot has changed. We made an adjustment initially, but then look where we are. See, many times, how many times has the Holy Spirit dealt something with you, but you haven't learned? Come on, you don't have to lie in church. You don't have to trick me. You know, the Holy Spirit may deal with you about something, but we don't always learn. Or we know what the Word of God says, but we don't even learn. Sometimes, you know, we're looking for a word from God sometimes, aren't we? And yet we've the last place we look is the Word of God. See, many times I believe the Holy Spirit will speak with us, try and deal with us on something, but we don't always learn. You know, or we can know what the Word of God says, but we can still cozy up to sin. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. How many of you got a few prayers going on? Got a few prayers going on? I hope you got a few prayers going on. You know, I tell you, yeah, maybe you're joining us online this morning. You got some needs in your life. You got some prayers going on. We want to mix our faith with your faith. And we understand that Jesus, having looked around at what he saw, maybe couldn't believe. We dealt with this before. I came in before. And we saw the same thing going on, and almost like exactly the same. And maybe they've just gone around a mountain and come back to the same place. And nothing has changed. And maybe having gone out of the city, wrestled overnight with what would he do? And what would he goes out to the city, to the place where he would just contemplate and spend time and hear from his father. He went out of the city, but then he came back the next day. And when he goes back the next day, he deals with it. He deals with it. And the Bible says, you know, the first account of when he goes in there earlier on in his ministry, the Bible says he made a whip, of course. He made a whip. You imagine gentle Jesus coming into your life with a whip. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He comes in, but he drives him out that first time. He comes back in the second. And he goes into the outer courts there. If you can picture the temple, it was the outer courts where this was going on. The outer courts where this trading was going on. And it was the outer courts where it was the only courts where the Gentiles could enter into to pray. But in this place, all this trading is going on. See, in that place, some things had to take place in many ways because they could only use the temple currency in that place, so maybe that had to be changed. They had to take a sacrifice, and so many people were trading in doves, which you could have brought with you, or you go into the temple courts, and you could buy one at an inflated price. And so there's all this stuff is going on. And traders would be selling and buying. And the treasury would be selling and customers would be buying. And all that could be heard in this outer court was this buying and selling and trading and commotion going on. It's interesting that when Jesus confronts them, he says, when he went into the temple and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. So Jesus goes into the temple. He doesn't just drive out and get angry with those who are doing the trading, who are doing the selling and basically they're almost like extortionists just trying to, you know, grab more than was due. He actually drives out and gets angry with those who are actually engaging in it by being participants in it by buying. I find that fascinating that Jesus didn't just deal with those who were doing the selling, but those who were engaging in it. You see, we don't have to engage in that which is not of God. See, when Jesus Christ, you know, died for us, he left us with our free will. What he wants to do is release his will in us. He left us with our free will. And so even though those who, particularly maybe those Gentiles who were coming in, were looking again and saying, "What we do?" They were engaging in it. See, church, you can say no. We don't have to go along with the status quo. We don't have to go along to fit in. We don't have to go along to be friendly and to be acceptable. You know, they could have said, "We're not going to do this." And if they hadn't gone in, there wouldn't have been anybody in there to do trading. You know, sometimes we make a rod for our own back. And when Jesus went into the temple of God, he drove out all those who bought and all those who sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. See, so we don't have to blame the buyer. We don't have to buy. I tell you, I believe sometimes we buy into things we don't need to buy into because we're not prepared to make a stand. Many times that's because we don't always know the word of God. But we don't make a stand on some things that we should be making a stand on. See, this wasn't the place for marketing. It wasn't the place for extortion. It wasn't the place to be doing this buying and the selling. This was the place, this was the outer courts. This was the place where it was the only place that the Gentiles could go to pray. So the very place they could get help, they weren't getting help. The very place they had that presence of God, they weren't getting it. Because there was something going on in this place. It wasn't the place for marketing. And Jesus goes in there and he finds them there and he finds them doing this. And he comes to that point where he says, you know, this, my house is not a house for this. It's not just talking about church, or in a church building. He's talking about the presence of God, the place where the presence of God is. How many of you know you carry the presence of Jesus? You carry his presence. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So where we go, the Holy Spirit goes. We are the temple of those. You know, this was a temple. This is the place where God was worshipped. This is before Jesus had gone to the cross, given his life for us, been buried, been raised to newness of life, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. This wasn't the place for marketing. It was the place that Jesus reminds them of, which was previously been written and spoken, just as everything in this that we look at as Jesus goes into the temple had been prophesied before. Isaiah 56 and verse 7 says, "Even then, them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus comes to this place, and he comes to this place, which he what he's expecting, maybe they would have learned something from previous times when he went there before and they found them doing what they were doing. And he goes back there on this day. Mark's gospel says, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. I'll tell you, it's amazing what we carry in ourselves. That we who are carriers of the presence of God can sometimes carry a lot of other stuff too. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught them, saying, I'll tell you, sometimes we need a bit of teaching. It wasn't like he suggested it. Sometimes we take a lot of things in the Word of God, in the day in which we live, because of the culture maybe which we live in, because of the traditions of man, because of what's going on in our lives, and because of the way we choose to do things and the things that are going on around us. You know, we take a lot of what the Word says as a suggestion. But Jesus, like he said, I'm not suggesting this to you, but I'm teaching you. I'm bringing to your remembrance. And sometimes we forget that we don't have all the answers, that we don't know everything, and we need to be taught. And so he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations?" Not every gospel records the all nations, but he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations," and referring to that previous scripture. But you have made it a den of thieves. You turned it into something which isn't. And this outer temple courts was the place that only, it was the only place the Gentiles can go. And so they were being deprived of what was there for them. It's the only place they could come and pray, and they were being deprived of it. I tell you, sometimes we can get so wound up in ourselves. We can get so wound up in ourselves, wound up in our thoughts, wound up in our opinions, so high and mighty in what we believe is right and what we believe is wrong, that we exclude people. And that's what it is. That's people. That's souls. We exclude people from the very Savior. We alienate them from the opportunity of receiving what God has for them. It's all very nice coming together, and important we come together and we sit on a blue chair every now and again and gather and in this place. But it's also very important that we don't alienate those in our world from receiving that which is for them, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For God so loved the world that whoever would believe in him. Do you believe that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, all nations, or cultures, or tribes, whoever, would believe in him would have everlasting life. So it's not for us to exclude, it's for us to embrace. So he said, they were being deprived of the opportunity. Because that place was the only place they could come and pray. And he clears it out. He clears it out. And once he cleared it out, once he'd eliminate that which was a distraction, once he'd eliminated the thoughts and the feelings and the opinions and the doing the things outside of the things that were the things of the kingdom of God, we read that then the blind and the lame came. I tell you, how many of you believe that Jesus is able to do far in excess of what we are ever able to think or to imagine, according to the power which is working within us. God, we partner with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We partner with the one, greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. We're partnering with the healer. We're partnering with the Savior. We have a role, I believe, and a responsibility to make known the things of God to those who don't yet know him, to those who are hurting, those who are confused, those who are sick. And so we know that when he came, when he dealt with this, when he dealt with these things that were going on to him, he says, then the blind and the lame came to him. And church, I believe they were all nations. Because that is what this, that is what the house of God, that is what this place was for, that all nations, his house, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And you have made it something of what is not. Not just referring to a building. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. That is who he is. He is the healer. He is the Savior. And he healed them. It is so. It is almost like it's so simple. Sometimes we position ourselves in a place where we distance ourselves from the opportunity of God doing something in our lives. Do you believe that? We distance ourselves. Without putting condemnation on us, we can distance ourselves from God doing something in our life because we fill ourselves, we fill our lives with so much more than what is needed. I was watching something on the TV one day this week. It was a testimony of somebody who'd been healed. I can't really remember what it was healed from. It was a serious sickness that was meant that they had to live in a wheelchair, basically. And she'd been prayed for, and she'd been prayed for, and she believed that God was a healer. But then somebody confronted her, who was a very new Christian. How many of you know, sometimes new Christians take the Bible at its word? Hello? New Christians will take the Bible at its word. And yet, sometimes we've filled it up, we've puffed it out, and we've filled it up with other things. We've added things, maybe not intentionally, but we've just sort of added things to it. We brought things into it, and our own feelings and our own thoughts and our own desires sort of come into it, and we shape it to fit our circumstances. And yet this very new Christian said to this lady, well, doesn't it say in the Bible that he's a healer? Can I pray for you? And so this lady, who a little bit almost taken aback, well, why not? And she prayed for her, and strength came back to her, and she was made whole. Because somebody who was very new to the Christian faith believed what the Bible said. Simple faith. Sometimes we forget the simplicity of faith. And yet the Word of God says, without it, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this person believed what the Bible said, and that we read in the Bible that Jesus heals, and he'd laid hands on people, and they would be made well. And I think this young girl, I'm pretty sure she said she actually laid hands on this lady and this lady's a little bit taken aback, but that simple faith of somebody who believed the Word of God for what it says. See, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do, and I can have what it says I can have. Well, says, whatsoever things you pray, you ask when you pray, believe you will receive them. And you will have them. But sometimes there is so much getting in the way. And when Jesus was able to remove that which was a hindrance, he's able, if you like, to open the doors again. Then the blind and the lame came. Maybe they were trying before because they had some feeling that there was going to be something good going on in the temple for them because it was a place where prayer went on. Maybe they were there with an expectant heart. But when they got there, they were disappointed. Our heart's cry is that when we come into the house of God, when we gather with believers, when we gather around the word of God, when we gather under the name of Jesus, you know, people don't come but go disappointed. I remember the first time I went into, having come out of the very traditional church that we were in, and I first went to what was called a charismatic church, and I was a little bit hesitant because I'd heard that crazy things went on in this charismatic church. I'd heard about things that went on in there, and they were way more spiritual and way more charismatic than I was, and my feelings about the things of the Spirit of God. And I hesitantly went, and Suzanne stayed at home, and I went on a Sunday evening to this church with trepidation. I sort of got there in good time so I could sit near the back and not be too conspicuous, because I wanted to just sort of take account of what was going on, and I didn't want to find myself uncontrollably swinging from the chandeliers, which is what I'd heard. And when I went in, there weren't any chandeliers in there, so you know that wasn't ever going to happen. But I remember going, and I was really disappointed. I thought, well, maybe, you know, if that is what charismatic is, and I've been missing out on it, I haven't been missing out on much. So I was disappointed. Our heart's cry, what I'm trying to say is our heart's cry is that when we have this opportunity to be in a place where we're meeting, you know, whether it be in a church setting, whether it be in a smaller setting or whatever, where we are lifting up the name of Jesus and coming into that place, my heart's cry is that we're not disappointed. Our heart's cry in life, church, is that we sense the presence of God. That we sense the presence of God, that throughout everything we do, you know, in the ways we do things and the way we get around, and when you get around people, you know, that we sense the presence of God. And I believe these blind and these lame, or these people in need, let's just not call them blind and lame people, but people who had needs, people who were hurting, people who are struggling in life, people who had traumatic stuff going on in their lives and situations are going on around them. And when they came in, when they met around this place, where all the stuff that is unnecessary, if you like, and confusing, then the blind and the lame came to him, to Jesus, who is coming as the Savior, who's on his way to the cross to take away our sin and give us a brand new life. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. They met with him. See, church, our heart's cry is that we meet with Jesus. Our heart's cry is we meet with Jesus, and not only that we meet with him, but that he heals. He heals the hurts. He heals the pain. He heals the frustration. He heals the loneliness. He heals the depression. He opens the blind eyes. Heals the cancer. Because he is able. He is able. He is able. And the blind came to him and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things, these are good things, they got indignant and they got angry. Not everybody gets happy when God does good things, when God does wonderful things, when God does wonderful things. Anybody here who needs God to do something wonderful to them, for them? You know, say, well, that's me, that need I've got in my life, and I don't really count it as being wonderful, because wonderful sounds a little bit big and a little bit large and a little bit over the top. But to you in your situation today, you know, maybe that is wonderful. Maybe you just need something revealed to you. Maybe you need something to touch your life. Maybe you've got something going on in your body, in some sickness, and the healing touch and power of God is wonderful. So to some, something just to be restored is going to just be something wonderful. Maybe there's some things that God wants you to address in your life. Because we turned things into something else. We've not allowed him the space. We've not allowed him the opportunity. And these temple courts were the place which was open for all. And Jesus said, you have turned that which is supposed to be a place of prayer for all nations, you've turned it into a den of thieves. You know, we know the thief came to kill, comes to kill, tears, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. Church, if you're here this morning, if you're in this place, if you're watching online, you're saying there's some things going on in your life where you can't put your hand on your heart. I can't put my hand on my heart and say I'm living life to the full. There's some restrictions. I want you to know this morning that the healer is in the house. The power of God is in the house. The power of God can touch you right where you are, in your home. Because then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And he healed them. If you're here this morning, if you're in the house this morning, if you're in the place, maybe you're at home, you can stand with us too. But if you're in the house today and you say, okay, I've got something going on in my life where I need the healer to touch my life. Not just maybe talking about physical healing, but I'm talking about anything where you need something wonderful to take place. The healer is in the house. The healer is in the house. If you're in every if you need the healer to touch your life this morning, wouldn't you stand where you are? I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I see you. We hear you. God is for you. He's not against you. Come on, people stood all around the building. We don't want to embarrass anybody in Life Church this morning. Maybe you're at home. Just maybe let us know you're standing. Why not stand? It's powerful to stand in the presence of God. So, Father, I pray that every person, I pray for every person here this morning, every person joining us online who says, I need the healer to touch my life. Maybe there's some adjustments you need to make, and the Holy Spirit will empower you to make those adjustments. Trust him. But if you're here this morning, say you need the healer to touch your life. Could be a relationship thing. Could be just maybe suffering from something. Can't even put your hand on your heart and really say what it is, but you're just struggling. Father, I pray for every person. Because I need the healer to touch my life. The one who restores, the one who brings peace. The one who shines light in the darkness. Just place your hand on your heart and say, come touch me, Lord, today. Because Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you to touch my life today. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, do that work in me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He's able to touch people right across this building. He's able to touch you at home. Touch you. Just receive it right now.